الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى. بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى. إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected ulama, elders, brothers, beloved students in Islam, this is a very short surah, a few ayats of the Quran Sharif in Surah Sabbih Isma Rabbik al-A'la. Normally on the day of Jumu'ah, especially in Jumu'ah Salah, it is sunnah to recite it in the first rakat. In our witr namaz also, the first rakat we recite Surah A'la. The subject matter mentioned here is very, very profound. It has got very, very great meaning. And for every single one of us throughout our lives. So in this few ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. This is the beauty of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the Quran Sharif. In this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions what reward you will get. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions what you must do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the manner of attaining it. How, what's the matter? How must a person attain this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions what is preventing a person, stopping a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning how old the subject matter is. In a few ayats, what and what subject matter Allah has placed in one word. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off first, as our Hazrat says, like the carrot, Allah dangles it in front of a person. Before mentioning what you must do, Allah says, first I'm telling you what's the reward, what benefit you will get. This, what we are having a islahi jalsa for, tazkiyah, reformation. So before Allah mentions that, Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. What you are going to get by it is success. Every single person in the world at the present moment is looking for success. Any person you ask, what are you looking for? I want success. But every single person's mi'yar and manner of attaining this success is different. Some people feel, if I've got money, I'm a successful person. I need a lot of money, then I'm a successful person. But this is a big lie, and reality goes against it. This is the biggest, very, very big dhoka and deception in the world. If you got money, you are successful. If it was so, it would not have happened that those people who've got the most amount of money, they commit suicide. You don't hear poor people committing suicide. It's the richest people in the world. They say one of the richest countries in the world is Switzerland. Most amount of money there. So much of money. If nobody works for 5 years, they've got enough money to look after all the people in the country. So much of money. And the laws, the sexual laws are so open. Whatever evil you want to do, you can do. Fulfill every desire of yours. But the most amount of suicides take place there. And on the other hand, Bangladesh is one of the poorest countries in the world. But the amount of suicides taking place there is the least in the whole world. So it's not because of money, how much money you got, then you are a successful person. Some people feel, if I've got status, if I'm a great person, I'm a king, I'm a minister, prime minister, I'm Sheikh al-Hadith, whatever, in Islamic also, in dunya also. If I've got a high status, then I'm a successful person. This also is not a reality. To have that status, that position in society, I must be a great person. This will not make a person successful or not successful. There are many, many people in life who are very, very big kings. Very, very high positions they had. Today they are the kings, tomorrow they are in prison. They are completely disgraced. They have got nothing after. And when a person passes away, what status does he have? No one ever remembers them. So that is not status also. It's not wealth also. It's not beauty also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of success. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us who has got success. In one ayat of the Quran, Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The people of true iman, who are perfect in the iman Allah has given them, they are successful. In this dunya also and in akhirat also. Imam Raghib Asfahani rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that success, falah, is a very, very comprehensive word in the Arabic language. It cannot actually be encompassed. But he gives 7 meanings of success. What does success mean? He says the one meaning with this success, that Allah will give you. Allah will give you the success. One, Allah will give you izzat. Allah will give you honor. As I mentioned, money is, you won't get success by money. But success, a person wants to get izzat, he wants to get honor. If a person wants to get baqa means people must remember him in a good way.
people will think of him in a very, very honorable way. This kind of success which Allah is promising promising a person. If a person wants ghina, ghina means contentment of heart. As I mentioned, having a lot of money doesn't make a person successful. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, لَيْسَ الْغِنَىٰ عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرْضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَىٰ غِنَ النَّفْسِ. Ghina and wealth, the true wealth, is actually the wealth of the heart, where a person is content, not a person having a lot of money. If a person is content and he's got a small thin shanty also, and he's got his loaf of bread, that person is successful. That person is happy in life. Another person has got 1 million, 2 million, but he's still running, dying for the dunya, for the things of this world. He's not successful. He's still a pauper. So, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَىٰ أَفْلَحَ رِسْفَلَوَتْ فَلَاحَ. If you want izzat, honor, if you want baqa, your name to remain, people to honor you, to respect you, people to think about you. Like, look at Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sema Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. We here in Newcastle, mashallah, the madrasa is running after him. How his name remains in the hearts of people. The rich people of Newcastle, who remembers them? All the wealthy, the mayors of Newcastle, the last 50 years, who remembers the last mayor also was here? But Hazrat Mawlana, the effort he made, see how people respect him, where they honor him. Hundreds of years will pass and they will still remember Hazrat Mawlana. Why he was that person? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. A person who purified himself, who strove to get connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says this person is successful. So قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Allah says you want falah, falah in this dunya. This is what you will get. And in akhirat, the falah you will get there. There also you will get the ghina, bila faqr. Such wealth, where there will not be any poverty at all. In akhirat, it will be forever and forever. عِزُّم بِلَا ذِلِّن. There you will only get status and high, high status. There will not be any disgrace at all for a person. There a person will get ghinan bila faqrin, izzum bila zillin, ilmun bila jahlin. You will get ilm and knowledge there without any kind of jahalat, without any kind of ignorance. And finally, that person will get baqa'um. He will get baqa, he will remain forever and forever in Jannah, never coming to an end. So all of these things, Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. If you want this falah, you want the success, man tazakka. It is a person who has purified himself. Every one of us has to look, how often are we purifying ourselves? Are we making the effort to purify ourselves? And to purify ourselves in every aspect of our life. Today the whole world is worried about purification of outward things, not ourselves also. Or maybe to the highest level, you go to the hospital, it's written there, wash your hands, otherwise germs will be passing on. And every person by nature likes to be pure. Does anybody like to be dirty here? Nobody likes to be dirty, especially the housewoman, the housewife, how she likes to be clean. All the time she's cleaning a kitchen, cleaning a this room, cleaning that room, put vacuum machine, and now somebody is there in the room, they go a second time, third time again, how much the effort they make of cleanliness. But that's an outward things. And automatically things in this world become dirty. Similarly, our hearts become dirty also. Our bodies with sin become dirty also. So all the time a person has to be making an effort, I have to purify myself. It's not a one day thing, I purified myself, now I'm pure, I'm 100%. No, a continuous effort has to be made in this line. So Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. You purified yourself. Inshallah, we will just mention a few places. There are many, many more. But a few places where we have to look into ourselves and understand, have I purified myself in these matters or not? The first thing which a person has to purify himself is in his aqidah, his beliefs. Alhamdulillah, we are all Muslims. Many of us are students of deen also. But what is the level of our iman? What is the level of our aqaid? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, who are the believers? إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. They've got iman in Allah and His Rasul, but they've got the smallest amount of doubt. They don't have it all in their hearts. We will say, but if a person always has got something. Look at the example of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just has passed away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before passing away, he gives Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu command that the army of Usama must go out. The army of Usama must go out. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes away. Sahaba radiallahu anhum now are worried now. At the same moment they hear that after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, the surrounding tribes, they are becoming murtad. Many of them are leaving Islam. They say, we're not prepared to pay zakat. We're not giving to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum. Some people completely, they became murtad. There was all different groups. And this one army going out for 40 days, 42 days they were going out. A big army, a big portion of the people of Madinah Munawwara. And remember, Madinah Munawwara was very small at that time. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu get together, they appoint Abu Bakr as the Khalifa, he is the Khalifa. But now they tell Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, oh Abu Bakr, you know what, we can't send this army out. Because Madinah Munawwar will be attacked. Imagine now that all the kuffar, people are murtad, they will attack us. And here we're sending an army to fight against the Romans. The Romans are very far away from us, they're not going to attack us. How can we we'll be killed here in Medina Munawara. So please. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu called all of them for a mashwara. They had a mashwara. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, no. This was the command of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is summa lam yartabu. No doubt at all. This is the command of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyhow, they go back again. Again, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu discuss. They say, no, it cannot happen. They come back to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They have second mashwara. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu tells them that, see, this is the command of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even if the wild animals of around come here and they attack us and they destroy us and they kill us also. The enemies attack us and they kill the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't care also. But it's the command of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My success lies only in that. I will have to follow the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So imagine now, it's for us, it's easy to talk today. But one small command of Allah comes in front of us. Somebody says, give a bribe. We say, okay, if I don't give, this will happen. But look at them. That yaqeen. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, no, it doesn't matter whatever happens to us. But it's the command of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is summa lam yartabu. Is our iman has reached that level or not? Or we still got ifs and buts. So we haven't got our iman as perfect as yet. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, my success will be in this. He sends the army out. Before sending the army out, they come to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. You know, Usama is a young person. He's only 18 years, 20 years. He's inexperienced. He never fought in so many battles. They are greater people. Abu Umar radiallahu anhu is in that army. And why don't you use him, make him the Amir? Many other great Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu becomes very, very angry. Umar radiallahu anhu actually comes to Abu Bakr to tell him this, yeah, because the Ansar told Umar radiallahu anhu. He becomes furious. How could you ever say this here? Yeah, that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded us. How can you ever ask me to change the decision of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he changes Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu goes out, he shouts at the other Sahaba. He says, how can you send me? You're getting me in trouble. Anyhow, then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes to the army and he asks the request that I want Umar radiallahu anhu to stay back with me. Usama radiallahu anhu accepts. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sends him out. For 42 days they go out. When the emperor of Rome hears about this army coming out, he gets a shock of his life. He sees the power of Medina must be so strong. They could still send out an army. So fear comes into his heart. All the surrounding areas, all the kuffar and disbelievers, they want to attack Medina Munawara. They hear there's one army going out against the Romans. Allah puts great fear in their heart, shock in their heart. That Medina must be very, very well fortified, very, very strong. They say, we'll never try to attack Medina Munawara also. So in this way, Usama radiallahu anhu's army goes out. And they manage to win quite a bit of booty. They come back to Medina Munawara. Nobody attacks Medina Munawara in that time. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu eventually after that starts sending army out. And all the fitnas are quelled. Why? Because of that iman in Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's command. So this is what we have to come. So we say, ah, mashallah, I've got iman. But when the command of Allah and his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come, what is our condition at that moment? So have we made tazkiyah in that line? Have we perfected our iman? Purified our iman to that level? So Allah says, this is قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. You purify your iman. You see how Allah's help and assistance will come to you. But a person has to make effort for it. His own has come into him. I've got iman. An effort has to be made for this. This is one aspect of our aqidah. So whatever we are learning on aqidah, we believe Allah is the giver of rosy and sustenance. But is our yaqeen on that day? Now somebody comes to us, he's selling backdoor goods, haram goods. Now a person says, but if I don't buy it, somebody else will buy it. Somebody else will do this here. So now where is the iman of a person? Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, is traveling on train. And his luggage, he tells the porter, you know what, I'm going, I got a ticket, but I have to pay for this luggage also. So that person says that, you know what, don't worry, I know you, Mawlana, he's a Hindu person, I know you. I'll organize for you, go on the train free of charge, don't worry about your luggage. So Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi says that, but I'm going to another area. There will be another person, another guy will check up my ticket. So he said, no, I know about that person. I'll phone him. I'll tell him, don't worry about you. You're my friend. And Hazrat Ali rahmatullah says, but my journey is going further on. He said, no, but before the next station, you will stop already. You will get off. So nobody will tell you anything. He says, no, my journey is much further than that day. My journey is towards Akhirat. I have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. How can I cheat the government? It was the English government at that time. He said, you do not own the railway station. You don't own the train. You can't give me respite. You cannot tell me I'll make you ma'af for this year. I have to pay that amount. So this is that yaqeen, that iman a person has got. Allah is watching him at every single moment. So this قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. If you got this quality of purification of your aqidah, your beliefs, that whatever, it's not just I believe in Allah, Allah is the creator, Allah is the sustainer, but the yaqeen was coming to a person. Conviction at every moment he must realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching him. So this is the first level. He must understand that the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most successful way. Any other way, there is no success at all. Even though outwardly it might look, my success is in any other way. But he realizes that no, it only in the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my success. So he tries to bring his life, he molds his life in that way. Allah ta'ala says, such a person is successful. This is one aspect. Another aspect, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. a person who purifies his eyes and his private parts from evil. Yeah, this is a continuous effort also. Hazrat Hakim Munashah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, in today's time, that this is the fitna, the sickness, and the bimari of the time. The eyes, the controlling of the eyes. Every one of us, we know, ayat of the Quran, Allah says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the believers, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they must lower their gazes. But unfortunately, many of us, our wheel bearings are off. A person is supposed to be looking at his wife, he's looking at his sister-in-law. Or he's supposed to be looking at his wife, he's looking at his neighbor's wife. The person is driving his car, instead of going straight, the car is moving this way, the car is moving that way. So his whole wheel bearings are off. His alignment is off. So our alignment is off also. We have not purified ourselves. And Allah Ta'ala is promising us that you will get success when you will make purify your eyes. If a person will purify his eyes, what success Allah has given promise for that person. One is the promise in the year after. One promise in this world. Allah Subhanahu wa Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, An-nadhru sahmu min tihami iblis masmumun. The gaze is one of the poisonous arrows of the arrows of shaitan. Shaitan has got many, many arrows. And one arrow which he has got, which is very, very poisonous. Normally if you take an arrow and you shoot somebody, it's very, very painful if the arrow goes through your body. But normally what they used to do in the past, then you eventually pull the thing out. It's very, very painful. They take something hot, they put it there and they pull the thing out. They pull out the arrow. It's very, very painful. But normally if it was hit in your hand, it's not much harm to the rest of your body. Or if it was hit, you got hit in your leg. But what they used to do in certain people, they take the arrow and they used to put poison on top of it. So now when the poison hits your body, even it hit your arm, but the poison goes through the whole body and it completely destroys the person. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that nazar, the gaze, is one of the arrows of shaitan, but not any arrow. A poisonous arrow from the arrows of shaitan. That is, when a person looks, he's not only looking. That look is affecting the whole body of a person. That is why it comes in the hadith carrying one, مَنْ تَرَكَهَا مَخَافَتِي. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, whoever will leave looking at haram, at wrong things, out of my fear, أَبْدَلْتُهُ إِيمَانًا يَجِدُ حَلَاوَةً فِي قَلْبِهِ. I will change this gaze of his into iman, and he will find the sweetness of iman in his heart. Person is today, we're saying, I've got no concentration in my namaz. I got no enjoyment when I'm making tilawat of Quran. I feel very, very down. I'm not getting so much of enjoyment. The one of the main reasons is, a person is not controlling his gaze. He's looking around here, he's looking around there, different places. Many, many people say, I've got no enjoyment in my married life also, because he's not looking after his gaze. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if you want the halawat of iman, the sweet taste of iman, you want success, I'm prepared to give you that halawat of iman. And it is when a person will look after his gaze. This is tazkiyah, purification of your eyes. A person learns how to look after his eyes and control his eyes. And this, to look after one's eyes, is very, very easy. Our Buzruk say it's so simple. As soon as a person is walking, and a woman is walking in front, immediately a person just closes his eyes. Jab woh samne aaya, to main nabina ho gaya. As soon as she comes in front of me, I became blind. I just closed my eyes. Or a person lowers his gaze. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, say to the believers, يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, lower some of your gazes. Allah Ta'ala didn't even actually say, close your eyes also. Because now you're driving your car, and now you see one woman walking there, and you close your eyes. What's going to happen? You have a big accident. Many, many people, they're driving also, then they say, no, I must, our Hazrat says, deception of shaitan. Let me just see who's driving the other car. Look at the other car. You can look at the other car, no problem. Why must you look at who's driving the car? Is it a man or a woman? Then maybe if it's a woman, I can shout, and then I know how this woman driver must be more careful. No, look at the car of the other person. There's no need to look at the driver of the car. So Allah Ta'ala says, Yahuddu, lower, not close. Yahuddu, control, lower. Min abusarihim, some of your gazes. Allah Ta'ala says, 99% of gazes are made halal for you. Look at the skies, how big the skies. Look at the oceans, well, not when the women are in the ocean. Look at the ocean, look at the sand, look at the beautiful greenery all around. So many, look at the animals, all the different animals Allah has placed on the surface of the earth. All of these things Allah says, look at these things, look at your parents. What sawab a person will get the reward of a hajj. Except the hajj, Allah will give a person, every gaze is looking at his parents. Look at Kaaba Sharif, look at the Quran Sharif. 99% of things I have given you, it's permissible to look. Look at your halal wife. Look at your children with love and affection. Look at your parents. Look at your sisters. But only like you can say 1% or 0.1% I've said haram for you. And why? Because Allah loves us so much. Allah says, my banda, if you look at the wrong things, your heart will get attracted. Your wife, you've got a halal wife at home. Now you won't be looking at your wife. Now you'll start looking at that other woman. And your heart will go away from her. And Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, he said that other gunas and sins, when a person does it, his heart turns away from Allah Ta'ala 90 degrees. So it's 90 degrees away. So your person makes tawbah, it's easy to come back again. But he says, the sin of the eyes, when a person is looking at haram and he's not controlling his gaze, the heart turns away 360 degrees or 180 degrees. It's 180 degrees, completely turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now a person goes into sajda also, and he's making sajda before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in his heart, he's got the thought of that woman. He's thinking about that woman. So imagine, you're not prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're prostrating to one woman. What a haram thing. So, if a person will look after his gaze, by looking after one's gaze, firstly Allah will give that person the halawat of iman. Second great benefit, which you will get success in this world, is our buzruq say, that love for your one's wife, Allah will make the person get enjoyment in there. Today many, many people say, I got no enjoyment at home, it's obvious. One buzruq had mentioned very, very beautifully, he said, whatever you want in life, everything of yours is written. Example, your rosy, how much you're going to get in life is written for you. If you're going to get 1 million rand, you're going to get 1 million rand in your life. It's written for you. But you've got a choice now. Am I going to earn it in the halal way or in the haram way? So for example, you decide to rob the bank. You go today, rob the bank. You'll make 1 million rand. You'll come out. The police will catch you tomorrow, lock you up for 20 years. You locked up 20 years in jail. You got your 1 million rand, but you locked up 20 years in jail. Another person, he works slowly, slowly, 5,000, 5,000 every month. In 20 years, he also gets his 1 million rand. But he got it with izzat and honor and in a halal way. All that money is halal. How much of enjoyment you're going to get in life also is written for you. You got a choice now. It's written, it's muqaddar. This is how much of lizzat and enjoyment you will get. But you got a choice now, how I'm going to get it. Am I going to get it in the halal way or in the haram way? So if you are taking that enjoyment in the haram way, if you are taking it in the haram way, so you are being deprived of the halal way. So now the whole day you are looking at all other women. So how much was written for you for that day? You will come home now, be looking at your wife, you won't get any enjoyment in her. Because the enjoyment for that day was finished. As our Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, our Hazrat Mullah Abdul Hamid Sahib also mentions this example. He says, for example, a person goes out to the shopping place, he's going to work in the morning. He's a poor person, he comes from a very, very, very poor house, and they do not have much food at home. So his wife says, no food for you today. I haven't got anything for you, take one apple, or I'll give you one slice of stale bread. You take it, in the night I'll try and prepare something for you. So he goes to his shop, it's lunchtime now. And he can do one of two things. He can either be an honorable person, in the time of salah he goes to the jamaat khana, to the musalla, he performs his salah there. And he doesn't ask anybody. The other one is a person who got no shame in him. He asks his friend, hey, you know what's the time? He got a watch on his hand, but he asks his friend, what's the time? So friend tells him, it's 1 o'clock. He says, oh, it's lunchtime. What lunch you got? He says, I got some biryani. He says, can I join you for the biryani? He sits down there. He sees his other friend with acne. He goes, he joins his friend with acne. Another friend, he got whatever. He got a burger. He sits and joins his friend there. So now he's eaten nicely. Now when he will come home 5 o'clock, he asks his wife, what you got? She says, I got dal, roti. He gets very, very angry with her. Oh, every day you're giving me this food. Why? Because now he's full. He ate biryani, he ate akni, he ate all of those things. Now he's full, he's happy now. So he's not cared about that food at home. But if he was an honorable person and he went to the jamaat khana, the musalla, he never took anybody else's food. And now he comes at 5 o'clock, his wife gives him that plain roti. She forgot to put salt also inside there. But now how will he devour the thing? He'll read bismillah, he'll enjoy himself. So much of enjoyment there will be in there. So similarly, a person goes out to the workplace. And all of these painted dollies, these biryanis who are walking around, and these aknis who are walking around, and these all the different burgers who are walking around, all these women in all different designs, with the tomatoes and the ketchup and all these different designs they've got with them. Now you're looking at all of them. Now you're filling yourself up. You're eating nicely. Now at the end of the day, you're coming back home to your dal roti. Your wife, she's a poor, simple lady. She's like a dal and roti. Now you're not going to be happy with her. You finish fighting with her, arguing with her. No happiness at all. But if a person controlled himself, he stayed away from that haram, now when he will come home, he will see his wife. What enjoyment he will get. He'll devour his wife now. Now he will get that enjoyment of life. Those who are not married as yet also, if they look after themselves when they are young, they protect their izzat and their chastity, inshallah they will see as soon as they get married. It comes in a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عِفُّ عَنِ النِّسَى تَعُفُّ نِسَاءُكُمْ. You stay pure from other women, your woman will be kept pure. بِرُّ أَبَاءَكُمْ تَبَرُّكُمْ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ. You be kind to your parents, Allah, your children will be kind to you. As you do kama tadinu tudanu, as you do in this world, it will so well be done to you. So a person must think now, what does he want in his life? If you want your woman to remain pure, if you want success in this way, then you be pure for other women. You don't look at other women. Today many people say, my wife, I don't trust her. How can you trust her when you can't trust yourself also? You know yourself exactly what you are doing. And my dear brothers, one great thing is if a person really wants to have enjoyment in his life, get rid of the TV set. The TV set is a shaitan box in the house. A person who is watching TV, I can guarantee you, he will never ever find enjoyment in his wife. A person who is sitting and watching porn, He will never ever get enjoyment in his life. Allah is saying, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. You want success, you purify your eyes. You don't look at this pornography, you don't look at this TV, you go on the internet and you're sitting till 11, 12 o'clock at night, watching all of this filth and dirt. You're sitting and watching all of this evil things. How can you expect to get enjoyment in your wife? That TV is a deception. That woman on TV is not so pretty also. It's a lie, how she is. In real life also, she's not so pretty. Once there was one woman who comes on TV or something, so she went to one town. The woman went to go see her, like, thought of very, very beautiful woman. They were shocked how ugly she looks. But just on TV, they put so much of makeup on her that she looks like a different person completely. So that's a big deception. And what they show you on the films, and these people who watch all of these films, what and what they show the people, what actions they do, it's impossible for a human being in normal senses to do that. But the way they show it to you, so you are in deception, that this is what married life is. So no matter how pretty a wife you get, you got married now, but you are watching all of these movies. Now you get married to your wife. From a high, you thought, I'm going to get this and expect this here, you get nothing at all. You come right down, you feel depressed. But a person who abstains from haram, he never look at all his filth and all his dirty and TV and all of these things, all pornography, all magazines. Now that person gets married, now it's from zero is going to 100, he's getting that enjoyment in his life. So a person must think, if you want success, our success is in this year. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has promised us, you will get a halawat of iman. Your wife will become the most beautiful for you. Our buzruq says, the tajruba and experience, when a person is walking, and a woman is walking in front of him, and he wants to look at her, every man has got desire to look, and his desires are very, very important in a person. Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah used to mention, very beautifully, he says this, like coal. Coal is very, very important. What's the object of coal? You boil, burn the coal, and then you can make the biryani on top of it. The coal, but you mustn't eat the coal. If you eat the coal, you'll get sick. So similarly, Allah has made desires. Don't fulfill the desires. Don't eat the desires up. Burn those desires. Control your desires. You will burn it. The cook and the food of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be created in a person. So Allah has created that love. Every person has got the desire within him. But the desires mustn't be used for haram. Use it in a halal way and control your desires. You will get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what a person must make effort for. So the third thing our buzruqs mentioned, that woman is walking in front. And a person wants to look at her. They say, this is our experience. If a person controls his gaze at that moment, whatever du'as he makes at that moment, it's their experience that the du'as are readily accepted. Because that person is making a mujahada at that moment. It's a great sacrifice he is making. And Allah is watching that sacrifice. Hazrat Thani rahmatullah says, you can be the Shaykhul Hadith of the Madrasa. You can be the Mufti Azam also. And nobody knows you are doing that guna. Your person can't control his gaze. He's walking around looking at that woman. He's still Shaykhul Hadith. He's still Mufti Azam. He's still a big person. He's still Hafiz Sahib. He's still Qari Sahib. He's still Maulana Sahib. His status hasn't changed. But he's not controlling his gaze. He said, because no, there's no fear of disgrace. The only thing which will stop a person from this guna is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is watching me. How if my ustad was standing behind me and walking, how I'll act like a big Sufi, I'll take away my tasbih also. No matter how beautiful women are coming there, I'll control myself. But if a person realizes Allah is watching me, Allah is looking at me, and what Allah is going to give me, Allah is going to give me halawat of iman. Allah will give me him. Some buzruq say that every time you lower your gaze, you will be granted one sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirat for that. Al jazaa wal ihsani illa al ihsan. Allah will say, my banna lowered his gaze for me, I will give him my gaze in the akhirat. So what a great, you will get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in place of the day. So it's a bit of mujahada. This is what tazkiyah is called, what islah is called. A person has to learn how to control himself. And it's not difficult at all. It's very, very simple. A bit of exercise a person has to do. First, we have to get the knowledge of it. And secondly, in the company of buzruganideen, pious people, this is what is called islah. Having that sohbat with them, companionship with them. And when we've got the sicknesses within ourselves, to ask them for the remedy. I got the sickness within myself. I can't control my gaze. What's the remedy for it? And like you go to the doctor, you got a sickness for the past 10 years, and you can't come out of the sickness. You go to one specialist. He say, oh no, you just need to do this exercise for 3 months, and this muscle of yours is not right, it'll come right, then you'll be 100% again. Similarly, we got the sicknesses for years. We cannot control ourselves. Go to the spiritual doctor. He'll give you the medication. Even 3 months, 6 months, a person shocked. I could never control my gaze. I thought it's impossible. Today I'm getting so much of enjoyment looking after my gaze. Now I'm getting enjoyment in my house. Now I'm looking at my wife. I'm getting great, great enjoyment. Till yesterday I was only fighting with her. Every time I entered the house, there was no love in our house. I got all the money. I'm giving her everything. She doesn't want the money. She wants my love. I'm not giving her the love. I'm giving my love to other women outside the house. And remember, the grass is always greener on the other side. No matter how beautiful your wife is, shaitan will deceive a person. It comes in the hadith, when a woman comes out of the house, shaitan beautifies her. He makes her look beautiful in the eyes of other people. And he makes her look very, very smart. But in reality, she's not so smart. Your wife is much, much more beautiful than that Allah has given you. That's your halal wife. And make sabr with her for a while. Control your gaze. You will see you will get the enjoyment in this dunya. So this is the second aspect a person has to make tazkiyah of. Purification of the eyes. A third aspect, the tazakki, a person has to make tazkiyah of ghadab, anger. And Allah Ta'ala has created anger within a person. A person must learn how to control his anger. And there's many, many people say, me, I can't control my anger. Very, very. But the reason why we cannot control our anger is the deception also. Anger, we only make anger on bigger people smaller than us, not people bigger than us. There was one person, the true story, he was driving his car, and one car overtook him. He became upset how the car overtook him. He started hooting at that car. Now he's trying to overtake that person again. That person eventually went, and first actually he wasn't giving him way. Eventually that person managed to overtake, so he got upset now. And he was fuming, and he said, I'm going to finish this person up. He eventually, that one car went and stopped quite a distance in front, and he came in the back. He took out his, what you call this, spanner, this wheel spanner. The wheel spanner. He took it out and said, today I'm going to give that guy a good hiding. He opened his door and he ran. He was fuming, what they call road rage. And he came there, and from that car, three people jumped out of the car. Big guys with big muscles. Now when he sees those three people, he got that one spanner in his hand, but three against one. He says, sir, I'm sorry, I think you dropped your spanner. I came to give it to you. And then he returned back to his car with no spanner also. So this is how anger is a deception for a person. When a person has to learn how to control his anger. And here also, what Allah has promised a person, what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has promised a person. In the hadith it comes, that man kaffa ghadabahu, satarallahu awratahu. A person who controls his anger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hide the faults of that person. In akhirat, inshallah, we got hope, Allah will hide the faults of that person. You control your anger for Allah's pleasure. So in akhirat, you will get that. What will I get in this dunya? As I mentioned, all of these things, falah, we will get in dunya also and akhirat also. What success a person will get in dunya? It comes in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That a person who controls his anger, mala Allahu qalbahu amnan wa imanan. Allah will fill up the heart of that person with aman and iman. A person, aman means that a person will feel comfortable. He won't be always depressed, high blood pressure. Many people have got high blood pressure. One main reason is because of anger, too much of anger in them. So he will have that peace of mind, contentment. And the second thing, his iman will build up, just by controlling one's anger. And in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you control your anger. Man kadhama ghaydan. Everyone has got anger. Anger is very, very good. If a person never have anger, now a person comes to attack your house, they want to steal your money, they want to steal your wealth. You say, no problem, you can take my wealth, you can take it. No, Allah has created that anger to control, to protect yourself, to protect your wife, to protect your children, to protect your property, to make jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fight the enemies of Islam who are trying to destroy and attack Islam. Allah has made that anger. It's very, very good. Use the anger in the right way. Fight against, get angry with shaitan, get angry with your nafs. But don't get angry on your wife. Don't get angry on your child that you are beating them up. You're slapping them on their faces. Where it comes in the hadith, La tadribil wajh, never ever hit the face of the woman. A person gets wild now, he's angry. And he says, you know what I'm going to do to you? As Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, it's just a big deception. A person is telling his wife, today I'm too angry, I can't control myself. I'm going to make you into keema, into mincemeat, chop you up. I just can't control myself. What and what wrongs you are doing? Suddenly you are knocked at the door. You go and look at the people, you see your two brother-in-law. They came from the army, the military. They all got the guns there. Now you tell your wife, hey, you know what? Your brothers came to visit now. You know all our fights? Let's forget about it. I make me maaf. I make you maaf also, whatever wrong you did. You know, everything is sorted out. Nothing wrong now. Inshallah, when your brothers go away, after that we'll decide. So where all that anger went? Before that you said, I can't control myself. Like many, many people, they say, hold me back, hold me back. I'm going to hit this guy. Why are they saying that? They can't hit the guy. They're frightened. They'll get a good hiding. So they say, hold me back, hold me back. So this is all a big deception. A person can control his anger. And this is an effort a person has to make. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you control your anger. وَهُوَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ يُنَفِذَهُ. You got the ability to vent your anger. You got that ability. Allah has given you that ability. And somebody is smaller than you, but you control your anger. You say, no, I won't fight with that person. Yeah, many of the people are young. So they're in madrasa. So normally it's a bit difficult always to fight with somebody. You fight with one, five of them jump on you. So a person controls his anger to a certain extent. But when a person gets married generally, this happens. Now he's alone with a wife in the house. There's no one to support that woman, to help that woman. He can bash her, give her, beat her blue. There's no one to see him at all. But Allah is watching that person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you control your anger at that moment. Allah will call you on the day of Qiyamah in front of all the makhluk. And Allah will say, whichever whore of Jannah you want to take, you can take her. So maybe, this is from my own side, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that most of the husbands will get angry with their wives. So he said, look, in place of your wife, I'm giving you one poor. Every time you get angry, you get one poor in Jannah. So now you get angry with your wife, you just control yourself, think to yourself, hey, you know what, I'm getting one poor in place of this. Yeah, I just have to control my anger for a short while. But just don't smile at that moment. Because your wife asks you, why are you smiling? You say, I'm thinking of my poor. Oh, then you've got another problem again. So a person, Allah is giving so many things. Just control your anger at that moment. Control myself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you this. So this is another area a person has to make tazkiyah. In the beginning, it might be difficult. A person has got too much of anger. But when a person makes ilaj, he makes tazkiyah, he purifies himself, eventually you will see how easy it becomes for a person to control his anger. Another aspect is kibar, takabur and pride. Whenever Allah gives any person a bounty, automatically pride comes into a person. A person can be an alim of deen also, and this will come into him. Ilm creates pride in a person. Money creates pride in a person. Beauty creates pride in a person. Any bounty which Allah gives a person more than other people, automatically pride comes into a person. And a person has to make special effort to remove that pride. Otherwise that pride destroys a person. What is the meaning of pride? Batarul haq wa kamtun nas. A person is not prepared to accept the truth. Anybody tells him anything, he's not prepared to listen to that person. And he starts looking down upon people. This is what pride is. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man tawada alillah rafa'ahu Allah. You got tawadu. You want success, you purify yourself from pride. Allah will raise you in this world. People will honor you. Even though he will regard himself as the lowest in the world, but people will have very, very high status of that person in their eyes. On the other hand, وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ وَذَعَهُ اللَّهِ. You got pride. Allah will disgrace you. And comes in certain narrations that that person will regard himself as very high on top of a mountain. People will look down upon him. He will be lower than them in their sight than even a swine or a monkey. How people look down upon a monkey. He thinks I'm a very, very great person. Now he gets angry for small, small things. Don't people know who I am? I'm a great person. It's pride within a person. And this leads to many, many problems in a person's life. A person is never ever happy always because he feels people don't understand who I am. One person, he went to one farm. He was one of these people working for the municipality. And normally when a person is working at the municipality, whenever you get status in life, you're a policeman, now you become the chief policeman. Now you get that, you know who I am. I'm the chief policeman. I'm a chief person. I'm a chief. So he said, I'm the chief now of the municipality. So he went to one farm. He said, I have to check around the farm. So the farmer said, look here, you know what, you can check around my whole farm, but you see there's one section here, please don't go in that section there, it's a bit dangerous there. Don't go into one section. See, you don't know who I am. Here's my badge. You can see this badge here. I'm the chief. I can go wherever I want to. No one can stop me. He said, no buts. This badge is very powerful. I'm the owner of this badge. I can do whatever I want to. I got a full permission to go wherever I want to. Don't tell me any ifs and buts. He said, okay, if that's what you want. Half an hour later, he hears the chief inspector running for his life. The 200-pound bull is chasing him. And he's running for his life. He was inside that area. Now he's running, and he's screaming, help, help, help. The farmer goes to him and jumps on top of his voice, says, show him your badge, show him your badge. Now where is that badge of yours? Is the pride. You see, I am somebody. See this badge of mine. I am a great person in society. You got that pride within yourself. A person will never be happy in life. People will always look down upon him. People will always hate that person. But a person brings tawadu into himself. He brings humility within himself. And just to bring this quality is not very, very easy. Normally a person, automatically pride comes into a person. No one likes to be dirty. But automatically dirt comes into a person. A person has to make effort to keep himself clean. Pride automatically comes into a person. An effort has to be made to remove that pride from a person. And then when a person now has this humility within himself, then Allah Ta'ala raises that person. And on the other hand, when he has pride, then Allah Ta'ala disgraces that person. So this is another effort where a person has to make. Another aspect, tazakki anil dunya, the love of dunya. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيَةٍ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the love of the dunya is the root of all evils, all gunas and sins. The love of the dunya is the cause and the root of all of this here. So this also a person has to make effort. There's not much time, so inshallah we will just mention very, very, very briefly that love of this dunya, what and what doesn't it lead a person towards? Today we are here of so much of jealousy, so much of murders, so much of killing, where a husband will kill his wife also because of life insurance. He'll get rid of his wife. Kill his wife because he wants to get life insurance. So this is love of this dunya. When a person has got love of this dunya, he cannot think properly. His object of life becomes dunya. No matter how I will get this thing, whether it's halal, whether it's haram, it destroys a person. A person has to make tazkiyah, purify himself from love of the dunya. To have love of the dunya is permissible, 100% permissible. To have dunya also and to have love of the dunya also is permissible. But for 49% only. And 51% must be love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be more than the love of dunya. And how will a person know which is more? Is when there is a muqabala, when there is a competition between the two, when there is a contrast between the two of them. That means now you've got love of Allah and Rasul in front of you, and you've got love of dunya in front of you. Which one do you give preference to? Whichever one a person gives preference to, he will understand he has got more love for that in his heart than the other one. So this love of dunya also is in every single person's heart. Allah has created love of the dunya. But a person has to learn how to control, how to get the love of the dunya out of him and bring the love of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam majority in his heart. Over 51% is in his heart, then that person is successful. And the more love of dunya comes out of a person's heart, the more the love of Allah and His Rasul comes in a person's heart, the more successful he will be. So anyhow, Allah is mentioning in this ayat, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Successful is the person who has purified himself. How will a person become purified? Allah Ta'ala mentions thereafter that you need an instrument for it. You can't just become purified like that. In this dunya, you want to clean out your hands. You need soap for the day. You can't just, your hands just become clean. You rub it together, it becomes clean. You need soap. So what is the soap? Allah Ta'ala says, وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ. A person makes the dhikr of the name of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He takes the name of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The dhikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is very, very powerful. It will remove all the sicknesses of the heart, the filth and dirt of the heart. A person has got kufr. Kufr, his heart is completely black. It's completely covered. One dhikr, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. One time he just says it. 100 years of kufr is wiped out because of the kalima La ilaha illallah. One time he read it in his life. So powerful is the dhikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The more a person will make the dhikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the more his heart will become purified. But normally when a person makes dhikr, when a person wants to purify himself, you can't do it yourself. It's like a person, he goes to the doctor, he's sick, he knows I need to take so much of medication. But how much medication must you take? You need to be prescribed by a doctor. Just now you go there, the doctor tells you take one tablet 3 times a day, you say, you know what, I don't want to wait 2 weeks to get better, let me take all the tablets one time now, I'll get better immediately today, inshallah. You won't get better, you'll end up in the Qabristan, you know, you'll pass away, you'll die. You can't take so much of medication. The doctor will prescribe, he understands, this is beneficial for you, this is harmful for you. After 1 week, you're getting pain somewhere else, got certain side effects, you go to the doctor, you know what, he'll tell you, no, take less of that medication, take this other medicine also there. You're taking an antibiotic, he'll give you a probiotic, you'll try to balance it. And every single person's nature is different. So we ourselves, we start making our own zikr, it's very, very beneficial, you get thawab. But you don't have the desired effect. So a person needs a spiritual doctor to advise him, that see, you must take so much of zikr, this is how much you must take, this is the dosage you must take, and he'll give you the exact amounts, he'll tell you what's beneficial for you, what you must stay away from. The doctor tells you, go to the Hakim Saab, take so much of medication, but stay away from this kind of food, stay away from that kind of food, these foods are very harmful for you. So when you go to the spiritual doctor, he'll tell you that, okay, you must take so much of zikr, this is your prescription. But you must stay away from these people here, this is a very, very bad company for you. You must stay away from this action here, you must do this. If you do this here, inshallah, in a short while, 3 months, 2 months time, you'll be much better. And the person will be shocked himself. I thought I could never abstain from these things. I had so much of pride within myself, so much of arrogance, so much of anger, I couldn't control myself. I couldn't control my eyes. But now I'm taking the medication, I'm finding myself, there's a world, there's a change in myself. And in this dunya, if a person is getting married, so automatically he cleans himself. Why? He's going to meet his beloved. In deen, when a person purifies himself, he purifies his heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in the heart. Our Shaykh mentions very beautifully in this glass of water. If there is a bit of dirt on the outside of the glass, not on the inside of the glass, on the outside, you give a person to drink the water, he's not prepared to accept it. I don't want that water. It's dirty. The water is not dirty, the outside is dirty. But if a person is not prepared to drink water from an outside dirty glass, how can we expect Allah Ta'ala to come in our hearts, to get a connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, when we are keeping our hearts filthy and dirty? The person has purified his heart, but taking the name of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, his heart has become purified now. So now that person, automatically Allah will come in that heart of that person. And the person will get direct connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And that's actually what we have come in this world for. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. And the best form of connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in this world is Salat. As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. There are some ulama have mentioned that Salat is a direct connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Contact with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. They say the word Salat comes from the word Silatun. Silatun means to join. It is joining a banda with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. What a great gift Allah has given us in this world. But when will a person appreciate this gift of Salat? When he has purified his heart. Allah has come in that heart. He has made the dhikr of Allah. Now he performs Salah. Ulama have mentioned that there are 12,000 benefits in Salat. 12,000 benefits in Salat. If the Salat is read in the correct way, the connection is built up with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, a person will get 12,000 benefits. And the enjoyment a person will get in Salah, that is why there are certain Sahaba, one Sahabi he went out in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, he came back after about 3 months or whatever, and his wife was waiting for him. He said, let me just read my witr namaz or my Isha, my witr Salat after Isha. And he started performing Salah, and already it was Fajr time. And his wife got a shock. She says, haven't I also got some rights or whatever? He said, let me tell you that the only reason was, I started performing Salah, and I got such enjoyment in my Salah, I forgot about everything, I forgot about you also. What enjoyment, connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And our Salat, we're just waiting, when is the time going to finish? Let me read my Salat quickly and finish my Salat, so I can start enjoying other things. But Allah give us the reality of it, where we get the true reality of salat in our lives. This is the what they got. Allah Ta'ala says, what is preventing you from this year? بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. You are giving preference to this worldly life. You think the things of this world are better for me. That is why you are giving preference to it. And Allah Ta'ala says, but don't think about that. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. Remember the akhirat, it has got two qualities. It is far, far better. And it will remain forever and forever. Never ever coming to an end. It will remain forever and forever. And it is far, far better. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says, he seated this whole masjid, filled it up with seeds, bird seeds. Not the masjid, the whole world. And every 1,000 years a bird comes and takes one seed away and goes away. He asked the question that will the seeds ever come to an end? Will the seeds ever come to an end? Eventually it will come to an end. But after millions and millions of years, we can't even imagine how long that it will come to an end. He says this world, akhirat, will never ever come to an end. It's even longer than that. So he said it's like my mind boggling. A person can't even imagine how long akhirat is. So Allah says, why are you giving preference to this worldly life? You're living here for 60, 70 years. There you're living forever and forever. And the things of akhirat are far, far better. Even if the things of akhirat were lower than this world, an intelligent person will always give preference to something which will remain forever and forever. But Allah says, that's far, far better also. It will remain forever and forever. And Allah Ta'ala says that, I'm not telling you only you people, Muslim people. From the starting of time, إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى صُحُفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى. This is written in the past kitabs. The kitabs of Musa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam. I mentioned it before also. Because this is the way of success. This is what you need to do in life. And you will be 100% successful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this few ayahs of the Quran very, very beautifully has mentioned our way of success. And it's by tazkiyah, by purifying oneself. Purifying our limbs from all kinds of gunas and sins. And purifying our heart from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taking out all the filth and dirt and putting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart. So inshallah the programs will continue after this. Many the mashayikh, great kabir, asatida, great other mashayikh also here. Inshallah they will explain to us this way of tazkiyah. How can we purify ourselves? Get our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, request for all the brothers, inshallah. Firstly, that the person must make intention that I've come here for my islah, to reform myself. If a person's intention is correct, inshallah, you will find great, great benefit. And secondly, try to set for all the programs, take part in all the programs. Inshallah, we'll get full, full benefit. And now is the time, just before the Maghrib Salat, is about 10 minutes or so left. This time, du'as are readily accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a ma'amul of our buzrugani deen. From the time, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, on the day of Jummah, last few minutes, she used to tell a maid, tell me when is the time. And she used to call her, she used to sit down. That was the time for dua. So we should make it our normal habit every week that the last few minutes before the day, before Maghrib Salat, before sunset, about 6, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, try to engage in dua. Allah give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.